I'd like to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would help us this morning, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your Word. Lord, again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to be faithful to you. Again, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 13. Begin reading in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. If we hear what Jesus says here, you know, there's several places in the Bible Jesus said that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John says that several times, and just over here in verse 14, or chapter 14, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 15, verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. It's several places, the promise, the Holy Spirit will come, and it will be to those who hear his words. Jesus said that, told the parables about the man that built his house on the rock and the one that built it on the sand. Let's just turn there. It's Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, they may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. These words, a lot of times we hear this implied that whenever he talks about the rock, it's implied that Jesus is the rock that we're building on. But himself, even himself here, whenever he says this, he refers to the rock as the person that hears his words and does them. It's not, and the foolish man went out and built his house, and the floods came, and the storms came, and he destroyed his house. The wise man built his house on the rock, and the winds came, and the floods came, and destroyed the house. But Jesus said that it was the wise man that was compared to the man who built his house on the rock. And the wise man, verse 26, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. But everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You see, a lot of times when we talk about faith and we talk about believing in Jesus in the world, they believe that Jesus died and rose again, but that's not what he's talking about here when he talks about this. It's who actually hears what he says. Many times Jesus talks about believing and faith as someone who actually hears God. When we look in the faith chapter, it said everyone that heard God's claim on their life, Noah, God told him that it was going to flood. And he told him to go build an ark. You know, I've given the account several times where you know, can imagine that Noah lived in today's time. And that God told him, it's going to flood. And you need to build an ark. And Noah would go around and say, God said he's going to save us. And everybody that believes that he's going to save us will be saved. And so he just goes around and he starts building churches everywhere. He starts missions everywhere and tells everybody they'll be saved because God is going to save them. And so he just goes and spreads the gospel all over the whole world. That builds churches and missions and does all kinds of good things, telling people that they're going to be saved because God said they'll save them. And then it starts to rain. And all of that's washed away. Because it's not believing that God will save us that saves us. It's hearing God's word that saves us. Hearing God's voice that saves us. Putting into practice. The man that built his house on the rock. These are Jesus' words. It said the man that builds his house on the rock was like the man who hears these sayings of mine and does them. That's the thing that's missed today. It's actually hearing his words. We go back to the first verse we read in John chapter 13. It says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know, whenever we look at God and we look at religion, starting in the Garden of Eden, God gave one commandment to Adam. That was, don't partake of that tree. One rule is all he had. And he broke it. Whenever God dealt with the children of Israel, he called them out. He gave them 10 rules, 10 commands. And as time went on in the Jewish religion, I think there's something like 640 commandments that they had whenever Jesus came, that they had built off of that 10. Today, we have the gospel of Jesus. His rule was that you love one another. And all the commandments and laws hang on that. Today, we've got all these different rules and different things that divide people, that you got to get to this level, you got to do this, you have to do that before you can be a part of us. And it's become just about like it was in the Jewish times, when men established their own rules and their own laws. What I learned from that is the closer we get to God and actually hear His voice and walk with Him, the less rules there are. And it's been that way through all of history. He started out with one. God's not interested in a bunch of those things. The law was given not because that's what He wanted us to live by, but to show us what will cause us to die by. There's no life in it, just keeping these rules and laws. The real life is in hearing God and doing His will. That's all the different regulations and rules and things that man puts on us is just a substitute for not having God in our heart in the first place. If we love God, we'll just do what He wants us to do. And it can all be summed up in this one thing. Love God and your neighbor as yourself. And it says in verse 35, it says, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." How many denominations do you know of that's their one rule that they live by? You know, if you look at all the different churches, they've all got their little pet thing that they live by. And they establish their whole church around a set of rules or a set of practices that they do. And look what it's happened. You know, in the early church, Jesus was talking to His disciples and Peter was going out and everything was all divided. And His purpose was to unite people around one thing. And that's Christ. Whenever the earliest church started putting out a creed, they wanted it to be as simple as possible. There's not a bunch of don't do this and don't do that in it. It's we believe in one God. And as the creator of all things, it was a fundamental faith that they had in who God was. They didn't set out to have a denomination that's exclusive and dividing people. The very idea of denomination is all about division instead of being united with people. "By this all men will know you, that you love one another." You know, today we have different groups that believe that, well, they'll know us because we keep a certain day. Or they'll know us because we all speak in tongues. Or they'll know us because we wear a certain kind of clothes. All kinds of the things that just separate us. And they separate and separate and separate. Whenever Christ's goal is that all men will know you, that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. In John chapter 17, in Jesus' prayer, John chapter 17, verse 21. Jesus' prayer, the night before right soon before He was to be crucified, He was praying to the Father, and He says, "That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they may be one, just like you and I are one." This is Jesus talking to the Father. "That they may be one. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." You know, a lot of times we have a division or something and we think, well, I'm right and our group's right and the other group's saying we're right and our group's right. And so now we're on the right path, we're close to God. And both groups are saying the same thing. Or sometimes they split into three or four different groups. But everybody is right. But really, everybody's wrong. That's not God's will. God's will is that we are one. Sometimes a lot of things happen like this, and there's times for cleansing. There's times for things that need to be taken out of the way, and it happens. I mean, it just happens sometimes. But our heart should be, because we love one another, not because we have all the same views. The boys talked about Jonathan and David's friendship. And, you know, one of them mentioned something about they weren't friends because they just hung out together and liked to do all the fun things that each other did. It was much deeper than that. A lot of times that's who our friends are. It's just the guy that likes to do all the fun things that I like to do. And so we get along that way, and that's how we get along. But that's not what true friendship is, or not what being a real friend is. A real friend there is someone who sticks closer than a brother. That is able to overlook someone else's shortcomings and failures, and be there for them no matter what. We'll be rejected. That doesn't mean everybody, we'll all sit around singing Kumbaya with all the churches and all the different groups, because there are divisions, and they're that way a lot of times for a cause, for a purpose, because they don't belong together. They are walking two different paths. But the true church is not one setting those boundaries for everyone else. The true church is inviting people to come with problems, to come with differences, and being able to tolerate them and love them anyway. It doesn't mean everything just goes smooth and perfect all the time, but the heart of it is we're going to be there for you. We're going to be there because we're your friend, not because we necessarily like you even sometimes. But we're still going to love you. We're still going to be there. And I think that's what, you know, you see all the different things. Whenever in the early church, they were people that were coming from different backgrounds. Some of them were still trying to put the Jewish laws into the practice, and they were still trying to put all those things together. God didn't say, well, one of you, you've got to choose one way or the other. He said, no. He said, love one another, even with all your differences. You know, in Christianity today, we have people that was Judaism and Christianity, and he was telling them to love one another. Don't let either any one thing divide you. Today, we have the teachings of Christ, and let them split us all up and divide us into all kinds of different things. But that's not from the beginning. That's not what God wanted from the beginning. You know, it talks about it whenever he's talking about divorce. Jesus talked about the marriage, and then the Pharisees questioning him, talking about Moses' law. Moses said it's all right to do that. And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart, I granted you that. I granted you some things because of the hardness of your heart. Not because you were my disciples, but because you had hard hearts, I granted those things. The disciples had a desire to love one another, a desire to love God like Jesus loved God, so that we could be at one with him like Jesus is at one with God. I think that should be our heart. Put into practice the teachings of Jesus, which the heart of it is love one another. If you break down all the commandments that Jesus taught and all the things, if you just loved one another, you wouldn't have a problem with that. Any of the things that he taught, if we just loved one another, you wouldn't have a problem with any of those things. So many different directions. So many different things. And it's so easy to divide and think that we're really accomplishing or we're really standing for something. And if we would just stand for the most important thing in the first place, people will separate from us. That's fine. But it's because they choose to. because they choose to put something that they would rather stand for than the most principal thing. There's not going to be in heaven 20-some thousand different denominations, everyone in their own little corner. There's going to be one church there. And that church is going to be made up of people who hear what Jesus taught and applied it to their lives. And we don't have to be the one to decide. You know, a lot of people talk about being a judge and they say, well, you know, that guy's going to hell. And we think, oh, well, he's being a judge. And then the same guy will say, well, this guy's going to heaven. And we're, oh, he's just a real saint there, because he's talking about people going to heaven. He's still judging. He set himself up to determine whether one's gone here or one's gone there. It's not our place. Jesus said to love one another. The picture of Jonathan and David being friends is it's a real blessing. Their friendship is a picture of someone just being a friend, no matter what it cost. Whether it's good for me or whether it's not good for me, I'm going to be a friend. Sometimes being a friend, it doesn't mean we're just there all the time coddling, and it's being there so that when they need help, we're available for them. We're ready to receive them no matter what they've done to us. We're ready to open our arms and give someone a chance or another chance and forgive them. Doesn't necessarily mean we're the best politicians, always saying the right thing, always just trying to just make sure we're right there to say that everything that's just right. It's not about that. Politicians do that. But whenever it comes right down to it, we can be there and just be a friend. Like I said, our ideas of friendship sometimes just being our buddy, just because we like doing the same things. But that's not what a friend is. You know, we get the idea that the church, you know, a lot of people have the idea of the church just being the perfect place. There is never any problems. There is never anybody there that's hard to love. It's just all, we're just all happy and everything's just going right. But the perfect church is people with all kinds of different ideas, different things. And being able to be big enough to love them and let them make their decisions. That's a pretty tall order sometimes. But that's what we're called to do. To love one another. Just like we were talking about the laws and the rules, the closer we get to God, the less we need all of that. If we're actually hearing God and doing what He wants us to do, He's given us His Spirit. He's given us wisdom to carry this out. You know, we try to protect ourselves. We try to do all kinds of things to. And all He asks us to do is to walk with Him. You know, we look at things and we get scared of what we might have to go through or what we might be going through. But all we have to do is go through. All we have to do is go through it. You know, there's a lot of times in the Bible, Jesus Himself, whenever He was hanging on a cross, He was hanging in between two thieves. And everybody that didn't know anything was walking by and seeing three thieves being crucified. He wasn't worried about being identified by being by a thief. He knew who he was. And there were some others that knew who he was. But the whole world was looking at him as just being another thief that's getting what he deserved. But he knew who he was. May the Lord add his blessings.